The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. We will have Boomer Esiason today. Boomer just left CBS. Boomer Esiason, if I would have told you back when he was number 7 with the Arizona Cardinals, he would go on to be the longest running morning show host in New York City radio, replacing Don Imus. That would be something else. And the story goes that Boomer got the call about replacing Imus here in the Valley. He was here in the Valley when that happened. We will have John Wilner with us today. Wilner Hotline, all things around the college play. I'm going to talk to him about Graham Rossini, and if indeed that is when the white smoke does get released from President Crow's office, what his laundry list of items to do as a new athletic director, if in fact it is him, last couple months it's been. We will hear from John Wilner on that. It's also a very big week in college athletics. This is a week where getting into the weeds with John, we will definitely do that today. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, we thank Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. Today is a big day on the website. It is all academic team day. Change life will change a life. When you can put a on your high school to college application, you are part of the Sports 360 AZ all academic team, where it says honors and awards. I don't care if you score a lot of points. I don't. Don't care how fast you run. Don't care how many games your team won. Don't care. I get that all day long. There's lots of places to go for that. All I'm saying is GPA matters. That's it. We've been doing this for 13 years. I've been doing this for 30 years because I get tired of our industry just doing the on-the-field stuff. And, oh, yeah, they're great in the class. It's almost like a throwaway line. So today is all academic team day. I've had a great week. This is a bat. This is a bat that I got from my friend Tim Hovick. We were together for 5 days last week. This was made for me at the, you see it there, Louisville Slugger Bat Factory. Yes, indeed. It's very sweet. This was at the end of our tour, and each one of us got a bat. It was very nice of Tim to do that. When you have a partner who says to you, hey, I want you to go on a trip with me in a few weeks, and I am all about, as I've gotten to do this through the years, been blessed and fortunate to do this through the years. I love learning the business side of what makes people tick. Like, we were in the office of the CEO of Louisville Slugger. We had to take a private door, like a trap door, to get in. It's like a James Bond movie, to get into his office. And he's sitting there. We visited for 10 minutes. And just, how do you do it? I was able to hold Honus Wagner's original bat. I had to put gloves on. We go into this vault area. And this is just one of the cool things that I did last week. Last week, I went to Tiger Stadium for the first time and sat with some executives from Ford. It was really cool. It was really fun. I learned a lot. The next morning, we were given a tour of the Ford factory, where they produce electric vehicles, and then over to the F-150 factory, and that was impressive. That was so impressive. You know, they can roll an F-150 out every 58 seconds. And when people say, why do I have to watch the Lions every year in sports? Because Detroit does a lot. So we toured the Ford factory. We flew on a G10, a Gulfstream 10. 585 miles an hour down from Detroit to Louisville. Went from in Louisville, we went to the Louisville Slugger factory, had a nice private tour. We went to Churchill Downs in the afternoon and bet on some ponies and watched the races. They have night races or twilight races. And we had a nice suite. Tim took care of that. And then I think that there are a lot of highlights on this trip, and they're all sports related. PGA, like I'm at Churchill Downs. I have not been to Churchill Downs. I've seen the Kentucky Derby. It was really cool. Louisville Slugger, I'm holding the Tim is holding a Corbin Carroll pink bat. They're showing us the banana, Savannah banana bats. Like, I got more stuff on this that I can't show, or there are places where they said, you can't show this. Please turn your phone off for a moment because you can't show this. And it was that top secret stuff, which was fun. But the story, I think, that from the trip, and there were a lot of them that I can share on the air and some I can't. The story on the air was what happened last Friday morning. Last Friday morning, we are a little bleary-eyed. We get down the lobby at 6 a.m. for our shuttle bus to take us out to the PGA Championships at Valhalla. It's like 15 miles from our hotel, the Omni in downtown Louisville. And you know, people are talking about how there was an accident and someone was killed. I didn't know this. I am not one to turn the news on in the mornings. I'm not one to really watch news that much. Just me. You know, I can find my sources, and there are some times where I will watch news, or if I need news, there's people, in particular people, that I will follow, that I know that I'm going to get what I need to get, and I'm going to get it the right way. I'll leave it at that. So I didn't know about this. We're on the bus, and the bus driver turns on the news talk station back in Louisville, WHAS, great station. And they're going through the traffic accident. And then Scottie Scheffler has been arrested. And it's as though this is April Fool's Day, or this is a prank, or somebody somewhere hacked in and was able to grab control of somebody's computer and have them read something that's in the teleprompter, like Anchorman. They don't even know what it is. But no, it was real. It was real. So we get to, and there's a lot here that I took from the trip on a business side when it comes to WM Open. WM Open got ripped and crushed this last February because of some people with their phones showing a few rolling down the hill in the mud, a few that were really trashed. Yes, there were problems. Yes, there were. Not going to get through that. But I get to Louisville. We get off the shuttle bus and it's pouring rain. And we're supposed to go to the VIP tent. And it doesn't matter if it's us or anybody, but they did not open the gates until 8 a.m. We got there at 7. No way to let anybody in. I find that to be unacceptable. I do. And once we got in, because of the traffic situation with the person that was killed, people that were working there weren't able to get in for their shifts. I understand that totally. But there was security everywhere. They could have easily opened the gates. And I learned to appreciate the WM for what they do, because this course, Valhalla, nice course, beautiful course. Love to play it. It's a haul, man. It is a walk and a half, and it's through peaks and valleys. So we get into this suite, very nice suite, and they have the television on, and they're going through. ESPN did, I thought, a very good job on their reporting, obviously. They have all the boots on the ground. This wasn't, let's sugarcoat it, because we're partners with the PGA and all that stuff. Let's not rush to judgment, but let's not sugarcoat it either. This is serious. And then it's, okay, he's going to come play. And in that moment, I'm sitting there, it's raining, I have a nice area. There's no reason for me in great company. Tim Hovick and I are sitting together. There's no reason for me to run out there. But this took over. And this took over a little bit. And so I went out on the course. And I went over to the practice range and got fortunate. Scotty was just walking up onto the practice range. And there was a few cameras there. And I happened to get him going across the bridge and down. I made a rookie mistake and went over to one before checking. He was teeing off from 10. That's a rookie mistake on my part, not knowing the course. I should have known better. I caught up to him at 10, but I wanted the, now on the tee box, Scottie Scheffler, I wanted that to put on my socials so you could see it. Because I knew at that moment that a lot of people were wanting information. I had a lot of people were pinging me saying, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you know? I didn't know anything. I'm just a fan in the stands, essentially. But I did catch up at a good spot. It was on 12. It was on 12 as he was walking to 13. And he walked right by me. When people are in the rain and they've got two beers in hand, and they're saying, "Hey, come on, Scotty, I got money on you today." It's 9 a.m. I don't know. Am I being a snob, or is it just like this is what you get? The dude was in jail like an hour and a half earlier. I started seeing the free Scotty shirts. Those popped up around the course about 3 hours in. Found out later there was a guy down in the parking lot that was printing them off for $12 a piece. He probably could have made $50 each on them, because I saw free Scotty shirts. Made a joke on my social about handcuffs. They ran out of handcuffs in the team shop and all that stuff. Just try to have some fun with it and paint the picture. We were there till about 4:30. Got there at 7 a.m. Long day. Walked the course a couple times. Went back out to see Tiger. And then went back to the hotel. Met up with Tyler Shuck. Tyler was quarterback at Hamilton and went to Oregon and then Texas Tech. And now he's at Louisville. We met up, chopped it up. And then he and I went downstairs where there was bowling going on. And then flew home on a G6, I believe it was. And it was just a great trip. I like sharing those things with you guys. It's something I've never done before. I don't know if I'll ever get the chance again. I'm on the absolute factory floor watching all the moving parts robotically being done to build vehicles. It was unbelievable. Just great. Sports-wise, so I actually did pay attention. You may be like, this guy has got nothing going on. I got Boomer Esiason here in a couple of minutes. The PGA Championship, obviously I was caught up in that with Xander winning yesterday. I don't root often, but I was rooting for him to win. Actually, I was rooting for Max Homa more because that's who we had in our little pool on this trip. DeChambeau, I think, came off looking very good. The LIV golfers, for the most part, didn't look great. Because the first time where I'm walking a course and I'm hearing people say under their breath, boy, Phil Mickelson shouldn't be playing anymore. I hadn't heard that before. Heard people that said, Tiger Woods, man, is he old? He looks old. Well, yeah, so did Jack. So did, as you're watching this, if you're 20 or 40 or in your space, there'll come a day where Scottie Scheffler will be old and you'll say, I remember when he was in an altercation with a police officer at a golf tournament and all that stuff. Or maybe you won't. But I thought overall the trip was great. The golf was great. The course was pretty good. In fairness to Louisville, it was pouring rain, so it was a mud pit trying to get around there. The Cardinals are opening their organized team activities today. And I'm going to talk to Boomer Esiason about what his view is of Kyler and the Cardinals from a national point of view. Boomer Esiason, tonight is a huge night for the Diamondbacks. Yes, it's May. Yeah, they played the Dodgers before. It's a bullpen game. Mantiply is going to throw tonight. But you can't just keep getting smacked around whenever you play them. I guess you can if you beat them in the postseason. Yes. But this Dodger team just looks different. And the Diamondbacks, I thought, was a disappointing weekend. I got back here Saturday. I watched the game Saturday night. Disappointing to see how that went, especially because Zach Gallen was so good. Could have taken 2 or 3 from the Tigers. Should have taken 2 or 3 from the Tigers. Man, the NBA playoffs, Minnesota, it's a problem if you're a fan of the Suns. It's just a problem. If you're watching what's going on, and by the way, have you seen it's the top 25 salaries in the NBA. Top 25 salaries in the NBA. There's only one player, I got it right here. I was reading this morning. There's only one player left in the top 25 that's being paid, that's in the top 25 in dollars. And that's Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is making $41 million. Okay. Number one is Steph Curry at $51 million. Kevin Durant's number two. But all these guys are gone. Curry, Durant, Joker, LeBron, Embiid, Beal, Kawhi, Paul George, Giannis, Lillard, Butler, Klay Thompson. And then Rudy Gobert. So it's about putting a team together. In watching Minnesota take down Denver, Minnesota was built for this. I thought what Joker said after the game last night was very true. When you're watching the amount of size that they have, that they could just throw at Denver, And then you've taken over to the Suns. Okay, how much size do the Suns really have? You can sit here in mid-May and look at it and say, oh yeah, the Suns are going to win a title next year because they have a new head coach. I don't see it right now. But, you know, what does the roster look like when they get into training camp? What does the roster look like after the trade deadline next year? And are they still playing games next May? If we're sitting here talking about Cardinals and their OTAs next year, then you know that the Suns have been eliminated again. And it's not about keep adding. Don't keep adding dollars. Add the players that can win a championship. All right. Boomer Esiason and then John Wilner. That's next. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. If anything goes wrong, it's his fault. That's next. All right, as promised, I've been wanting to get Boomer Esiason on for a number of reasons. I'm going to just start with this. And of course, Boomer has done so much on the media side. There's some change coming, some really good things from The View out here. And of course, an Arizona Cardinal, the number 7 Arizona Cardinal in my book. Boomer Esiason Foundation, you founded this in 1993. And I'm not sure if you ever get feedback off of this, like the story I'm about to relay to you, and I'll cut it short. I come across a young lady out here as a basketball coach, CF, and I go to Ken Wisenhunt and say at the time, hey, Wiz, they're up to their eyeballs in debt, and I need some help. And he said, whatever it takes, because when Boomer started it, and I don't know if you get stories like this much given to you. She's not here any longer, but she had a long life that Wiz helped on, and you helped out indirectly, and I've always felt like I should share that with you. I gave her eulogy, and I'm just going to start off that, Boomer. Pretty heavy stuff, but way to go, and how's Gunner doing?
You know, it is pretty heavy stuff, Brad, and thanks for having me on. You know, Gunner's doing great right now. He's 33 years old. There was a miracle drug that came to the forefront in 2017 that he was a part of the trial with, and we noticed immediately that he was on that drug that his life had changed. At that point in time in his life, he felt like he was at end stage illness, which in the world of cystic fibrosis meant a double lung transplant. Thankfully, he did not have to go through with that. His life immediately changed with this new drug called Trikafta from Vertex out of Boston. And quite frankly, what I have witnessed over the last 6 years, 7 years actually, is nothing short of a miracle. He went to grad school at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth University, and now is a living, breathing, succeeding cystic fibrosis patient who not only is married, but has his second child on the way. And he is the biological father, which is really a miracle within cystic fibrosis. So he's living a good life. Many went before us, and many raised a lot more money than I did. To give us an opportunity to change his life, and that's exactly what's happened.
I want to just give you a little bit of feedback off that because I know it's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
Broadcasting. Okay, if I would have said when I meet Boomer Esiason and he's going to replace Don Imus as the longest running morning guy, I don't know if I would have ever seen that happen in radio, and I knew television was going to be in your world. You've got a lot going on. You and CBS parted ways. I wasn't surprised by that from a distance. There just comes a time, and I'm looking at your schedule. Like, I watch you on television in the mornings, CBS Sports Network. Okay, he's doing that 5 days a week. He's got to go into television world. You had no time off for over 20 years. So how did you do it?
Well, first and foremost, I wouldn't have done it had they not paid me well. So they paid me well, but I also enjoyed it. You know, I loved working Sundays with Phil, JB, Coach Coward, Nate Burleson, and, you know, and all the other cast of characters that had come through the 18 years that I had, or 22 years that I had worked there at CBS. But the last 18 years, I've been working 6 days a week in the fall, and it got to be relatively, you know, it got to be exhausting. And we had Super Bowl 58 this year, and I felt like I wanted to announce something around Super Bowl 58 that this was going to be my last year on the NFL Today. But I kind of held off because I didn't know whether I felt that way because I was tired, I was exhausted at the end of the year, or it was just time, you know. And at the end of the day, it was time, and I have no ill will towards anybody. I had a great run there, the longest run in history there for the NFL Today. So I feel very fortunate to be able to do that. But as you said, morning radio since 2007, and I'll never forget, I was on the first hole at Estancia, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call in the middle of April asking me if I would like to do morning radio back in New York, because unfortunately Imus had gotten fired because of some very uncomplimentary comments about the Rutgers women's basketball team. And I said, you know, I'll give it a shot, you know, and I don't think anybody here in New York or anybody in the sports world thought that somebody like me would be able to sit down for 18 years from 6 to 10 in the morning talking about all sports, not just football.
Sure.
And I learned pretty quickly back around 2008 that this was going to be a beast of a job. It's turned out to be a beast of a job, but it's also a very fulfilling job.
Yeah, if you're out late on a Tuesday night watching the Rangers play, because you're a big Rangers guy, right?
Yeah.
You're hurting Wednesday morning, and there's still 3 days to go. I did mornings for
Brad. I've been hurting the last 18 years because I have to watch everything. You know, it's not just the Rangers. The Rangers are a big story here now, of course, but the Knicks, the Yankees, the Mets, the Jets, the Giants, the Nets. It goes on and on here. It never ends here in New York. So you kind of have to have the pulse of pretty much every team, and you got to have an opinion on what's going on, not only in the sports world, but what's going on in the streets of New York City as well. So sometimes you get confronted with a very difficult subject matter, but because I'm from here, I grew up here, right. I kind of feel like I have a great deal of credibility when it comes to my opinions in regards to whether it be sports or politics or anything else that's going on here.
Yeah, you have to be a trusted voice, and you are, because, like you said, you've been there for so long. Boomer Esiason with us for a few minutes. Okay, so the CBS departure, are those shows, because the cycle has changed, are those it's not that they're not important, but are they as relevant, Boomer, because of the 24/7 sports news cycle? Where 20 years ago, when you first started, that was it. We've got to be there an hour before kickoff. Now, are they as relevant? I've heard that out there some. What do you think?
I still think they are relevant. There's a whole swath of the country that really looks forward to 12 o'clock on CBS or Fox, whichever particular pregame show that they like. And, you know, the one thing I told Matt Ryan, who's taking my chair, I said, you know, Matt, you got to love and respect that chair, because the people on the other side of the camera, they know whether or not you want to be there. And I respected that chair, and I loved that chair, and I loved everything that came along with it. And that includes, unfortunately, criticizing players and coaches that I had played with, people that I have known for years throughout the NFL. I mean, you got to be honest. You got to be genuine. And I think Matt's going to do a great job with that. The other reason why it's relevant is because of the big picture, the financial picture for CBS, Paramount, if you will. You know, that's a moneymaker for them. They have four segments where they have obviously sponsorship built in and around it. It goes along with the games that come on at 1 o'clock and again at 4 or 4:25, depending on whether or not they have a doubleheader. So it's a very important show for a lot of different reasons. And I thought, you know, adding J.J. Watt last year was great for us. I wish he would have been there every week, because he had so many unique insights about the game of football that I really hadn't thought about, simply because I wasn't a defensive lineman. And he was a very bright, very articulate guy. He has a great personality, great sense of humor. And I thought he really added to our show, much like I think Matt will add to their show moving forward this year. You know, staying relevant is important in this game. And I know Fox has decided to stay with their guys, which is great, but they've also added younger guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what CBS is attempting to do here. And I think, like I said, Matt's going to be a breath of fresh air and just bring a different perspective, which I think is important.
Is too much football ever a possibility?
Christmas
Day. And I'm hearing this outroar. Yes. Guys, the numbers just say they could put it on at 1 a.m. and people are going to get up and watch. So it's not going to slow down. Do you have a problem with Christmas Day games and all that stuff, Boomer?
I don't, you know, and I knew after last year that the Christmas Day success, how they just absolutely destroyed the NBA in terms of ratings. I knew that they were going to do it again, and they were going to have to figure out a way to make it work on that Wednesday. The interesting thing is that they took four teams, four very popular teams, and they're going to, you know, kind of intersperse them both on the Saturday before Christmas, then again on Christmas Day. And one of those teams happens to be Kansas City. And I'm sure that the NFL and Netflix is hoping, and of course, NBC on Saturday is hoping that Taylor Swift will be showing up to those games, which would be obviously a boon to the ratings as well, as we saw last year. So there's a reason why they do these things. And I think they want to just absolutely obliterate the college football playoffs the Saturday before Christmas as well, because they'll have an NBC game at 1 o'clock and then they'll have a 4:30 game on Fox. So those games will be going up against ABC and ESPN with the college football playoffs. And you'll see just how popular the NFL is in regards to, you know, another popular football programming, which would be the college football playoff.
The Taylor Swift stuff, I'm going to go down this real briefly, but have you ever seen something like that where you've got to factor that into the rating number of someone who's going to be in the stands outside of a president?
You know what? When she travels, you see how much money she brings to the local economy. So when she is traveling, she's almost like an NFL game going over to Europe. You know, the NFL doesn't pay for any of that. The city that is hosting that NFL game is paying the NFL to bring those games there. And the reason they're doing that is because they know billions of dollars will flow in behind them. And the same thing with Taylor Swift. Just look what she has done to all these different cities and how much money she has brought to the local economy. So she's the real deal. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if there's some, you know, one of her people are talking to the NFL. And I felt like she was going to be front and center in the Super Bowl this past year, which she was. Yeah. And obviously we showed her a number of times on CBS, but I think it's where pop culture meets sports, and the NFL knows that better than anybody. And people are glued to their TV sets, not just for the game, but also the celebrity watch and to see what's going on and to be a part of the drama that is a love life that she has written millions of songs about and has made billions of dollars over. And now here she is, you know, dating one of the best players in a league and maybe one of the best personalities in the league, in Travis Kelce. So, yeah, I get exactly why the NFL would want to know where she is, what she's doing, and how it's going to impact their schedule.
Two other things. I'll get you out of here. Boomer Esiason with us. Aaron Rodgers, what are your expectations this year?
Well, hopefully a lot better than last year, I can tell you that. I mean, I had high expectations for them last year, and it's really unfortunate what happened to him. But I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I feel like he's got a little Tom Brady in him right now, where he wants to show everybody that he can still play at a very high level. And the team around him is pretty good. They spent a lot of money in free agency. They did a good job in the draft. I think they're going to be a pretty good team right now. I think on paper, at least right now, they should be the best team in the AFC East, assuming he's 100% healthy. And I think he is. So I think that they're going to make it to the playoffs this year if he could stay upright.
Kyler Murray, you buy or sell? Boomer, where are you at on Kyler Murray?
Well, you know, I want to buy right now. I mean, you can't go buy last year, obviously, coming off of the knee injury and only playing in so many games. I think he only played in 10 games last year. It's hard to say. He had a new coach last year. I love the coach. I love Jonathan Gannon. I think he's a terrific defensive coach. And I think defensive coaches are kind of like, you know, going by the wayside in this league. Somebody has to stop the opposing offense sooner or later. I love the Cardinals draft this year. You know, you got to build these teams through the draft. And the fact that they were able to select 12 players, I thought was a terrific draft. I mean, they're still a ways away. You know, the Marvin Harrison Jr. thing should be great. That should be great from the get-go. It's not that hard to figure out how to play wide receiver in the NFL as it is as opposed to playing quarterback. And I think that's exactly what Kyler needed. But this defense needed to be fixed. And I think this draft and free agency probably is the beginning of fixing that defense. Now it's just a question of whether or not the young guys are going to be as good as they hope, or they're going to fall flat on their face. But it's a tough division for sure. Kyler is the answer right now. They are committed to him financially. And when he's healthy, you know, he's a pain in the ass to play against. I do know that, because most defensive coaches tell us that he is impossible to kind of figure out what he's doing. So I would think that they're going to be better than they were last year significantly, but I don't think that they are a playoff team just yet.
Right on the cusp, I think. I agree with you on that. That's a 7-8 win team. They won 4, and Kyler didn't even play in the first 8 last year.
Right, exactly.
They got some room to do. One tee time, one course in Arizona. Where does Boomer Esiason go?
Estancia, man, that's my place. I love that place. I was a member there for over 20 years. I think I was one of the first members back in 1993 or 1994, I think maybe. It's one of my favorite places on this earth. And every time I get out there, I love to play there. And I also love to play Scottsdale National, which is an absolutely awesome place as well.
I appreciate your time and insights. Thanks for sharing some time with us today, Boomer.
Anytime, Brad. Thanks so much.
You got it. There's Boomer Esiason, and we're back with more after this timeout. If it's Monday, that means it's John Wilner, and it means we chop it up. Wilner Hotline. You can find his content on the website, and of course, follow him on social at Wilner Hotline. I think the broadcast news is where I want to start with on the front end, because the CW network comes in and are they keeping the Pac-2 alive? CW has signed a deal where they'll show Oregon State and they will show Washington State. They're also going to show ACC, John.
Yes.
So are we seeing this, as we talked about last week, this confluence of conferences maybe coming together, not what it looks like in 24, but maybe what it looks like in 26, 27. Does that make sense?
It does. It may be a little later than that, but the CW is certainly interested in getting more into college football. They've got a deal. This will be the second season where they're broadcasting ACC games, and now they've signed up for 11 Washington State and Oregon State games, all home games for the Beavers and Cougars. Fox will have the other two. So they have 13 total home games, those two schools, two on Fox, 11 on the CW. And the CW, it's good synergy, right? Because they can put those games on after the ACC games. And, you know, they can promote the Washington State, Oregon State games during the ACC. It works for them. And it certainly fits in their broader strategy of adding sports, right? CW, we get a new player into the sports media space. They already have LIV Golf. And they've got the NASCAR Infinity Series.
Right.
Now they're adding college football. And there was an interesting story late last week where one of their executives says they are in talks with ESPN to take some games that are scheduled for broadcast on ESPN Plus and put them on the CW. And CW is a broadcast network. You can get it in 99% of the TV homes in the country.
Right.
It is possible in a couple of years that a Big 12 football game scheduled for ESPN Plus is going to be on the CW, right? Right next to, before or after, a Washington State or Oregon State football game. Hmm. So we're certainly seeing, you know, a new player, which is good for the schools because it provides more demand.
In that regard, so start times for games are going to be coming out soon.
Next week.
Do you have any idea of, like, I'm fascinated by the Big Ten. Like, the Big Ten has got to say, okay, USC Michigan, USC Ohio State, those games are going to be at 5 p.m. West Coast, 8 p.m. in the East. They have to be, John.
And now, we'll see.
You think they're going to be middle of the day? You think they're going to be in that prime window middle of the day?
So the Big Ten has got three windows, right? They've got, talking Pacific time, yep. 9 a.m., which is the Fox Big Noon kickoff, right? That's a huge window for Fox, right? That's when Michigan, Ohio State is. Then you have the 12:30 Pacific window, which is going to be the Big Ten games on CBS. Used to be the SEC game of the week. Now CBS has got Big Ten game. And then NBC will have Big Ten games in prime time at basically 4:30, 5 o'clock Pacific. So you've got Fox morning, CBS early afternoon, NBC, late afternoon, Pacific times. There will be some instances where some big games, USC, Michigan, that is going to be Fox Big Noon, or it'll be CBS at 12:30, because it will depend on which network has first pick of the games that week. Remember, next week, all we're going to get is the schedule, the kickoff schedule for the first 3 weeks of the season and any games that are going to be on Fridays. I think there'll be a lot of Big Ten games on Fridays, probably involving Oregon and Washington. But then that's all we get. So once we start the season, they start releasing every week or two, right? Or
right.
1 or 2 weeks in advance, they release the kickoff times for basically for the conference games. So we won't know. USC, Oregon, Ohio State's a great example, right? That game is October 12th, I think. Obviously, that's the number one pick that week. It's in Eugene. Will they put that game on Fox, which means a 9 a.m. kickoff in Eugene? I don't know. To me, that's more likely to be 12:30 or 5. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of Big Ten games that are starting at 9 or starting at 12:30.
I can't see a 9 a.m. Pacific. I mean, a few years ago, they tried that.
Yeah.
12. And I'm fine. If it's football, you're going to show up, except in the Pac-12 conference where it's like, you know, who's watching this exactly on the Pac-12 network that you can't get? So that didn't make sense to me. That's really interesting. What about the NFL just saying we are going to obliterate the college football playoff by putting games on in windows where you have your college football playoff? What did you make out of that last week, Joe?
That is like DEFCON threat one for college football. I think the NFL is a huge threat to college football's postseason. So a couple things. One is next season, with the expanded playoff, there are going to be three college football playoff games on Saturday, December 21st, opening round games. So that's going to be 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, all that. Three games on December 21st. That is an NFL Saturday. The NFL said to college football, hey, we'd prefer you not play a triple header. Can you move two games to Friday? College football said, no, we're going to put three games on ESPN, three playoff games on. So the NFL responded with a right cross. Two huge games. First of all, they moved their games off of the NFL network onto NBC and Fox. Obviously, much bigger audience. Then they scheduled the Chiefs and Texans, huge game, right? Mahomes versus Stroud, Super Bowl champs. And they scheduled Steelers-Ravens, one of the biggest rivalries in the sport. Yep. Both of those games are going to be head-to-head against college football playoff, and they're going to be on broadcast TV. So that is the NFL saying, we warned you, and now we're upset. And that is going to greatly undermine the ratings for those college football playoff games because the NFL is the gorilla, right? And this is one more example of the NFL taking up more broadcast windows that it didn't used to have. Black Friday used to be college football. Now NFL. NFL is starting, the opening week of the NFL season. They're playing on a Friday. It's a Friday, like September 5th. They never used to do that before. Right. So we're seeing the NFL. Source of mine, Bob Thompson, the retired sports Fox Sports president. I spoke to him on the record for a column last week. He called it creep. Basically, the NFL is creeping into college football space. It's a big problem.
There's no solution to it. There's no solution to it.
No. Nope.
Right? I mean, it's a big problem, but okay, how do you solve it?
Well, so real quick, yeah. There is something called the 1961 Sports Broadcasting Act. That prevents the NFL from playing on Friday nights and Saturdays, basically during the high school and college football seasons.
Really?
But there are some carve-outs, basically, right? NFL can play on Black Friday as long as they're done playing by 6 p.m. So the NFL game on Black Friday is, and I don't remember who's playing this year, but it'll be an early afternoon, mid-afternoon game. They have to be done by 6 because of high school. So there's a few carve-outs, but the Sports Broadcasting Act, the time frame ends the first Saturday of December. That's why there are NFL games on Saturdays in the middle of December, because the Sports Broadcasting Act doesn't apply. That is the only thing that is saving college football and high school football for the NFL taking over every Friday and Saturday during September, October, and November.
John Woolner with us for a few minutes. The white smoke has not emerged yet from Michael Crow's office. So we hear that Pope Crow has smoke in the office that is about to be released. We've been hearing this forever about Graham Rossini. I say forever, I'd say about 2 months. Like, this has been the worst kept secret out there. And I guess rather than sit here and pound away and do all with something university, because I've done it into the ground with them, I'm just wondering, what would your laundry list be from a distance? You look at Arizona State, I have mine. Now known Desert Financial, now known as the Activity Center before then, like all the different names, and Desert Financial is sitting there. with an arena that they were promised things would be done and fixed up and not done. That would be where I would begin. You may begin somewhere else of what his laundry list should be.
Yeah. Woo. I mean, it's, we go a whole show on this one, but to me, the big things,
John's bringing out the sledgehammer today. My slaughter. It's sledgehammer time on Arizona State. John Wilner. Boom.
Well, to me, the biggest things are, you know, getting an NIL plan that that will help Hurley and Dillingham with recruiting and is going to work with the next step in college sports, right? This is a huge week in college sports. The schools are expected to approve a settlement in the House lawsuit. It's an antitrust lawsuit. Damages are in the billions. The schools are expected to vote on a settlement. That settlement is going to create a $20 million minimum line item on your budget because you're going to have to share revenue with the athletes.
For each school.
Each school, at least $20 million, right? There's also going to be changes to the scholarship counts that's going to add another $5 or $10 million. There's also, you know, they're going to be moving NIL in-house. That's a potential another expense, right? This lawsuit, it's all anybody in college sports is focused on right now. And I assume that Rossini is locked in on it. ASU has got to have a plan with how they're going to deal with the new expenses, how they're going to deal with NIL, how they're going to deal with Title IX, right? We don't know the Title IX impact from this revenue sharing plan.
Meaning that women's sports could be cut or sports are going to be cut, but we can't cut this sport because of Title IX, correct? Is that what you're implying?
Well, the biggest thing is, all right, we've got to share $20 million a year in revenue with our athletes. How much of that has to go to women's sports versus men's sports?
Okay, got
football
it.
Versus everybody else.
Got it.
The Title IX piece is very complicated, and it's not addressed specifically in this loss in the settlement. So all the schools are grappling with where's the money going to come from to share with the athletes that doesn't mean cutting sports. How much are we going to have to share with the non-revenue sports? A lot of unknowns. That has to be their priority, you know, at least in the next few months as we get all the details for this settlement. Certainly, I agree with you. The arena is the number one thing beyond these economic changes related to the House lawsuit.
Yeah, I think the other, when I look at Arizona State from a distance, so it's, they just need days and then they need weeks and then they need months to just change perception dramatically. And I've heard that there's this, well, Graham is a Sun Devil and we need more Sun Devils. I think that's old school thinking. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not being critical of it. I need people that can get things done. And I don't know if he's going to be able to get things done because he has to go down the campus to meet with an administrator, the president, who is not at all a fan of athletics, unless the president is willing to stand up and say, I know there's been a lot of criticism directed towards me. I have realized, I've come to my senses that Graham is the one to lead it, and I'm just going to be off in the distance doing my thing. And he'll never say that, John. So I guess I'm looking at this is a marionette deal. This is a marionette deal. And that's what it's been. Nobody can deny that down here. Nobody. It doesn't matter what AD in the past 15, 20 years, if I say something, yeah, you have to talk to Crow. Or, yeah, my boss says differently. That's how it is.
Yeah, no, Rossini is going to get stuff done. He's going to get done what Crow wants him to get done. That's basically the bottom line. You know, and I think it hurts him. It hurts his chances for success externally, right? The AD has a lot of external functions, you know, especially these days with fundraising. And anybody who is anti-Crow is probably not going to give this guy the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, in some ways, we're not really going to know how qualified he is because he is going to be at Crow's beck and call like everybody else is there. If they had brought in somebody from the outside, even if Graham Rossini had been in the outside and they brought him in with his exact same qualifications, he'd have more chance for success, in my opinion, because it'd be more of a fresh start. But yeah, no, I mean, nothing is going to change there. Nothing is going to change there unless Crow leaves or unless Crow changes his entire philosophy. Otherwise, it is going to be more of the same. And it doesn't matter if it's Gramercini or Jim Delaney, the legendary Big Ten commissioner. Doesn't matter. As long as Crow's in charge, whoever's AD is going to be, you know, acting on Crow's wishes.
Okay. And I'd also say that from a distance, as I see it, Kenny Dillingham and Bobby Hurley have to look at the leadership and say, okay, is this the guy that's going to get through for us? I think they both done a really good job, given they've had I've used the Black Knight from Monty Python, the Holy Grail analogy before, where they have their arms cut off and legs and all that. And they still are trying to do the best they can do. But there comes a point where I think they're just going to say, I'm beating my head against the wall, and somebody else will come along and say, we haven't figured out over here. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. We have our arena. We have the NIL. We have everything in place. And ready, set, go. So to me, I'm not against the hire. At this point, just please get somebody in place if this is how it's going to be. But the overarching is, I agree with you. Gramercini's name is no different because Michael Crow was here. Time is what needs to happen. Days, weeks, months, years. To change this, you can't just say, oh, all's well. Anybody who says all is well, they're just on the payroll at ASU for PR.
Yeah, true. And to continue with your Monty Python Holy Grail analogy, Michael Crow farts in your general direction, I would say. He, you know what?
He's going to run that. I'm not dead.
He is going to run that show the way he wants to run the show. And, you know, I haven't seen any indication that the Arizona Board of Regents has a problem with the way he's running that show. Right. I mean, they could step in and insist on some material changes, but they aren't, because he's done a great job for the university. Right. It's just a case study in management to me, how one person could do so much good for a university academically and so much bad for a university athletically, all the same person. It's crazy. But yeah, no, I agree with you. And at some point you'd have to think that the coaches are going to say, I can't deal with this anymore. I don't have a chance for success. You know, we'll see. It's a whole new era though. I mean, this is a chance for them to get a fresh start. Big 12, fresh start. The lawsuit settlement changes the economics, fresh start. NIL, transfer portal, all these things are allowing you to restart, change your trajectory quickly. We'll see if ASU can do it.
Yeah. If Kenny Dillingham wins 8 games, everything's solved. That's it.
A lot of things are solved. A lot of things are solved.
That's how it is.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
But I've looked at their schedule. They're not winning 8 games.
Oh, wow. Fearless prediction.
That is not.
Whoa.
Fearless.
Look at this.
So because, you know, you got a 16-team conference, what matters is who you're not playing.
Yeah.
And ASU drew most of the really good teams and is missing the second-tier guys. That's going to hurt them. I don't. And they've got a tough non-conference schedule. I don't know how he's going to get to 6 wins, much less 8.
Woof. Big predictions.
Yep.
May 20th. It's the time of year to get big predictions.
Big predictions.
All right. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
There's John Wilner, Wilner Hotline over on X. You can follow him and his content on the site. We're back with more after this timeout.